Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Now, we know the true principle of this in earthly things. But in this verse, the lesson is how equally true this is in spiritual things. Not only slothfulness of the body, and that's clearly the earthly analogy here. It's something that casteth into a deep sleep. In other words, it's not something easily shaken off once indulged. And notice the word soul in the latter part of this verse, an idle soul. It's not just about the body, but there is idleness of the soul as well, and consequence for that. Turn with me to Romans 13, if you would, please. I want to look at a lot of other scripture that relates to this verse, because there is a lot of other scripture that relates to this verse, and every bit of it sheds light on our subject, spiritual laziness. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, and let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we see this awaking out of sleep, and we see the reference, of course, to a deep slumber in our text. Paul said then that it was high time to awake out of sleep, and so much more now as we see the day approaching. The time is mentioned as a reason to wake up. It's time. It's time. And of course that's true in our day, to be aware, to be vigilant, to be zealous and fervent in our worship, in our service, in our whole manner of life. It mentions putting on armor as a part of this. Put on armor. You don't put on armor to sit back in your living room and watch TV. And that's just a picture. Nothing wrong with watching TV. But you don't put on armor to relax, to be idle. You put it on to fight. And I don't have to remind you how that the spiritual living in this world is compared to warfare. He that warreth entangleth not himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So it's a matter of not entangling, as we see in this passage, not entangling yourself, not rioting in drunkenness. You see this world, what they're all about, entertainment, self-promotion, all of the lusts of the flesh, not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and envy. It's interesting that that's put there with the pursuit of entertainment and just vanity in this world is also strife and envy. We're so prone to that that it's mentioned. Don't waste your life, your effort, your energy, your time striving with people. We're to avoid that in the scripture. We're to avoid it in every way imaginable. It's clearly in the scripture. strife and vainglory and arguing, debate, division is all warned against over and over in the scripture, in spiritual things especially, to avoid unlearned questions and arguments over vain things. But notice the remedy here. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. To put the armor on is to put on Christ himself, to put on his righteousness, to put on, as we sang, you know, may the mind of Christ our Savior dwell in us. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Act according to who he is. Think according to who he is. Speak according to who he is. Be an imitator of him. Bow your heart and your life in service unto him. To give your lives as a sacrifice, as your reasonable service unto him. We reckon that if he died for us, we ought not to henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died and rose again. All through the scripture we see that kind of language. The time is mentioned. The armor is mentioned. Putting on Christ is mentioned. We remember the rebuke to the church at Laodicea. Let me read it to you. Remember the nature of the rebuke to this church in the book of Revelation in the letters to the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thy works. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, you're just kind of lackadaisical. You're just kind of going through the motions. And I know that a lot of times we're on our heels in this world. Look, we suffer things. We get discouraged. It's so easy in this hour, especially this day, to be discouraged. But don't stay on your heels. Don't stay idle. Don't stay just hunkered down. Fight the fight. That's what he's saying here. Not lukewarm. But here's what will make you lukewarm. You say, I'm rich. Everything's fine. There's no need. There's no cause. No cause to get excited or to, I'm rich. I don't have to do anything. Show me a man in earthly things that does nothing because he's rich, and I'll show you a worthless individual. Probably harmful. He'll probably use what he has for evil and not good. That's not it. That's not the be-all, end-all. And increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. How can you be poor and not know it? Because we're talking about spiritual poverty here. Not earthly, not physical. There's no virtue in physical earthly poverty. And there's no evil in physical earthly riches. We're talking about spiritual things. You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Now, there were some, and again, he's talking to the whole church at Laodicea. Some were maybe hopelessly lukewarm and never would change. But there were some that he was saying this to because he loved them. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. What's the bottom line of all of that? Be zealous, therefore. Wake up. And again, we're getting to what that means spiritually. What does that mean spiritually, to wake up? Not be lukewarm, not be lackadaisical. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Again, the remedy is zeal. Zeal. That word means to earnestly pursue and to strive after. You're doing that for something. You're striving after something. I guarantee you that. The Lord Jesus tells us, commands us, rebukes us with regard to the fact that our zeal and the heat of our soul, to be hot, is to be fervent, needs to regard spiritual things. It needs to have to do with Him, putting on Him, representing Him, honoring Him. I'm going to keep saying it now, and I'm always saying it to you who are here. I commend you. Listen, coming to the worship is not just about learning more. That's a big part of it, wouldn't you say? But it's about the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't even show up in His worship, that's the beginning of your problems. You see what I'm saying about being zealous about that? Make it to where it matters to you to honor Him. What are you doing otherwise? Examine that. Examine it. Is it worth it? Is it more important to do that than it is to worship the Son of God? You've got one life to honor Him with. Do you know Him? Do we know Him? When are you going to start honoring Him? When am I? When are the things of this world going to fade to the extent that we're zealous for Christ and His glory in this world? We know what our business is in this world. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me. Let's look at this together. We know what our business is. We don't have to wonder about that. It ain't accumulating riches. You don't have to read that far in the scriptures to see that. A man's life consisteth not in the things that he possesses. Have we forgotten that? Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy. Listen, we have gifts as believers. The Lord has gifted us with some things in this life, with some abilities, with some purpose of heart. And every one of them has to do with the glory of God's Son. Every one of them. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. In other words, let us attend to that diligently in whatever way you minister. With your time, with the skills that the Lord has given you, with a beautiful voice, with the ability to play an instrument, with just the heart to clean and give. Everything that supports the ministry of Christ. You remember how it says that as the disciples preached and gave themselves to the ministry, there were many great women who ministered unto them. Can you imagine the little things? Just little things. Little things, what we call big things, whatever. Remember those that addicted themselves to the ministry? That shouldn't be an exceptional thing. That's the reasonable service of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or he that exhorteth. You're just an encouragement to somebody. To stay in the fight. To encourage yourself in the Lord. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You see that? It's not complicated. The world makes it some big complicated thing to give. You know how what giving is? It's somebody that has more than they need, handing something to somebody that has less than maybe they need. That's not that hard. That's not complicated. There's no skimming off the top of that, is there? There's no administrative fees involved with that. He that showeth mercy. Some people's gift is just to have compassion on other people. To think on the things of others to the extent where, you know, anybody like that, that it's just like, it's just a characteristic of theirs. It almost is their manner of life to always be looking for a need somewhere and to show mercy on somebody in whatever way is needed, with cheerfulness. They love to do that. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Cleave to it. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You see the language? That's our text. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You see how people serve the Lord in the scriptures, and he never needed any of it. Not a bit. He never needed one thing. He didn't need that alabaster box of ointment. He didn't need that ointment rubbed on him. He said, that'll never be taken away from her. She hath wrought a good work on me, and it'll never be taken away. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Oh my, I don't even know how, that's so clear and simple, I don't even know how to talk about that. Listen to 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Remember how that other passage that we read with regarding to being zealous, and it talked about the time. Look what time it is. How much longer? And I always think about, you know, when I think about that, people say, well, the Lord's coming soon. I just know it. The Lord's coming. No, you don't. You don't know that. But I tell you what, he's coming before too long for you, isn't he? He's going to come for you pretty soon. You're going to spend the rest of your life not worshiping him, not serving him, not really caring that much about his people. You see what's important to him, what's important to you, what's important to me. It's not hard to figure this out, is it? It just takes sovereign grace to make it so. Pray for his grace in this. It's high time. It's high time. I always say to the people that don't have a pastor around this country and around the world, I guess, you know, you've been huddling together, maybe, you know, a few families together for year after year after year. Maybe you're praying for a pastor. You know, if the Lord hadn't given you one in 10 years, it's maybe you need to get one. Maybe you need to find one. Maybe he has given a pastor and you're just not willing to go there. Oh, but I've got a great job. I've got a, you know, somebody did say one time, I have to, you know, I'm taking care of my old father, I've got to bury him first before I... You remember what the Lord said about that. There's always a reason, isn't there? It's time. It's high time. Come on in. Bring it in. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. Again, that word is hot, zealous, pursuant love. Love's not just a fuzzy feeling. It's tenacious. It gives, doesn't it? We've seen it in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. It gives, it forgives. It's kind. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Freely you have received, freely give. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you've got something to say for God, let it be from God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That's clearly in earthly things, valuable thing. The Lord's given you the ability, minister. That God in all things may be glorified. That's what it's about. Not your life, not your success. Not mine. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Christ's worship, imitating Him, putting on Him, looking to Him, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Titus 2, the scripture's just full of it, isn't it? We're out of time already. Let me just read these. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Works that glorify him. Whether it just be honoring him on his day, serving him in little things, serving him in big things. This is a spiritual fight. That manifests itself in earthly things. Zealous of good works, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation or your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There's not much else to say about that. You see these words, striving, endeavoring, fervent, zealous. Time to wake up. You reckon? Oh, let's honor him with all we have in what little time there is. May God give us grace to do so.